There's so much in this chapter, and I'm sure over these next weeks during our Easter season, we'll come back and look at different things in this chapter. But I wanted you to see something I think is really significant and ministers to my heart personally. And again, I kind of assume that in my time alone with the Lord, if God says something that matters in my outlook, in my walk with Him, then it will probably matter to other people too. Because we may have different personalities, but we're all on the same journey. And the things that you struggle with may have a little bit different tint than the things I struggle with, but we all have those issues. We're all becoming the believers that the Scripture says that we are. Interesting to me is that when they're walking on the Emmaus Road towards Emmaus, and Jesus comes up to them, they didn't recognize Him. The language here almost sounds like they were kept from recognizing Him. But it says in verse 16, it says their eyes were prevented from recognizing Him. But the language actually should be their eyes were continually keeping them from recognizing Him, like it was on them. Their eyes were keeping them continually from recognizing Him. If you remember in all the post-resurrection occurrences, often people would not recognize Him. They didn't recognize Jesus in John 21 when He was on the shore. Mary Magdalene, who knew Him so well, didn't recognize Him. And it says in the Mark passage, as it tells a story briefly in just a couple of verses, it says they didn't recognize Him because He was in a different form. That's really important as you walk through the Scriptures and see, I think one of the things God wants us to learn that can help us be believers. Because remember this, the just live by faith. The whole Christian life is by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. It says in Romans 14:23, that which is not of faith is sin. And so the enemy's always trying to go after our faith. He goes after our faith by going after our heart. Because Romans 10 says it's with the heart we believe. So the attack is always after our heart because he wants to cause us to doubt and not believe. Because that's how we live the Christian life. We live the Christian life believing. And so here, what you're seeing are some guys who are struggling with believing. And their eyes are keeping them from perceiving Christ because he's in a different form. That's always a stumbling block for us. They were committing the same error that John the Baptist committed. If you remember when Jesus, when John the Baptist was put in prison, he got concerned as to whether the Christ, the Lamb of God, who he had declared to be the Messiah, Jesus, he got concerned whether he was really the real deal. Because he was supposed to be redeeming Israel. He was supposed to be bringing in a new world, a new order, a new kingdom. And yet it just seems like he was going around not doing that. And so he sent word, are you the Messiah? This is his cousin who's now doubting. And Jesus sent back word and says, the sick are being healed, the lame are walking, the blind are seeing. Tell him that blessed is he who's not offended with me. And it's so easy to get offended with the Lord when he does things in a different form than what I was expecting. And so seeing and how we see and what we see is imperative. In the scriptures I read, I want to go back all over them, but Jesus was asking them what they were talking about, and they answered the question in verse 18. Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem, unaware of the things which have happened here in these days? And then they said, verse 20, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him. They said, are you unaware of what's happening? Aren't you aware of the circumstances? Don't you realize what people have done? We were hoping. This is the part I think that's so sad. That's why they were looking sad, it says. When Jesus talked to them initially, they stopped and they were looking sad because it says, but we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. And what they don't know is that he already just had. And what they saw as total disappointment and failure, what they couldn't see because it was happening in a different form than they expected, is that everything that they had hoped for has been accomplished. When Jesus cried from the cross, it is finished, he was saying that all those promises about the redemption of Israel that's manifested to the whole world, the rising up of a whole new order, a whole new kingdom, a whole new king, a whole new world, and a whole new humanity has happened. You just can't see it. All you can see is what's happening circumstantially and what people have done. You're giving Earth's report, and that's why you've lost hope. And then they said, and besides all that, it's the third day. So it's been 3 days now, so there's no sense in keeping hanging on to this hope. We need to just let it go. But then they said, but we had these women, And they said an angel, they had a vision of an angel who said he was risen. They came back and told the apostles. Some of those guys went to the tomb and saw the tomb was empty, but they didn't see him. So it couldn't be true. It's all about seeing. How do you see? What do you see? They saw an empty tomb. Others heard an angel speak and say he's risen and believed. Isn't it interesting that John, in John 21, he looked into the empty tomb and he saw it and believed. Peter looked into the empty tomb and saw it and he didn't believe yet. Jesus had to come and appear to him personally on that day of resurrection for that to happen. And then Jesus says to them, in verse 24, he said, in verse 25, and he said to them, O foolish men, slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary? All these things that you look at and see, the setbacks, disappointment, failures, was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? I mean, that's a different subject, kind of, sort of, but Jesus is like, I've entered into my glory. The glory that you are hoping for of the kingdom of God coming has happened. I am now reigning and ruling as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It says in Revelation, this 93-year-old man says about Jesus, he's ruler of this world. That happened. It's already happened. We're seeing it spread, the manifestation of this new order. No matter what you may think, no matter what Fox News or CNN says to you, I'm going to tell you what's happening behind the scenes of this demonic attack. The enemy must be flipping out, freaking out, to throw the kitchen sink like this, because he sees what God's people are beginning to do. He sees the breakthrough that's coming, that his people are getting it more than ever before, that he has entered into his glory. The new world order has come, and we're to go and pronounce that new world order and bring heaven to earth. Jesus didn't die and rise again to first and foremost colonize heaven with earth. He did it to colonize earth with heaven. There's a big difference. But he had to go through what he went through to get there, the suffering. And beginning with the prophets, he explained to them all the things that the scripture said about him. Here's the thing, the first thing I want you to see. Are there promises that God's given all of us? Yes. Are there promises that God's given? And that's collectively. There are things that we know scripture says about his church, about his purposes, about his desire. Are there promises that God's given you? But is the problem that things have happened? Things aren't going on the way you thought they were. It's taking on a different form. It looks like all those hopes are dead. And you've been carrying them for years. And your hope has been taken away. One of the things the resurrection tells us is, if God has spoken to you, it may seem dead, but resurrection is going to come. And that which God's promised will be fulfilled. And it will be bigger and better than you ever imagined from the beginning. The seed planted into the ground, the seed planted into the tomb. The enemy thought he brought something to an end. All that happened is that seed exploded out of the tomb into something bigger than the enemy could have ever imagined. Those things that God's spoken to you personally about your walk, about your life, about whatever, they're like seeds buried in the ground. That's what it says in chapter 12 of John. Unless it goes into the ground and dies. There's usually that kind of thing that has to happen. But don't stop hoping. Don't just get Earth's report. Stop focusing on what's happened, what things are going on, what people have done to seem to crucify the promises God's given you. The risen Christ will bust out of the grave of your promises that seem to be dead promises, and it will be bigger and it will be better than it's ever been. It may look different than you ever imagined. But once you see it, you go, oh my God, I was believing for this, and it was always bigger than that. But the other thing is that after their eyes were opened to see him, they said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? If you find yourself in a place where you're losing hope, let's make it real practical. In the situations that we're going through, maybe financially things are happening that looks like a death. And it just seems to get worse. He's already been dead 3 days. Why hang on to this anymore? You've lost your hope. Some things God's promised you. Resurrection is going to happen. If it's been planted into the ground, it's going to come out bigger than ever before. And if you're losing hope, get alone with him in his word and let him cause your heart to burn again with hope. If you find yourself losing hope, and things about your marriage or your own personal walk with the Lord, your holiness, other things you're believing God for, then get with Him and allow Him to awaken your heart once again to burn with hope so that you can start seeing again from His perspective, not from the world's, that what may look like total destruction, Jesus is saying, is going to result in a resurrection, that what you believed is going to be bigger than you ever imagined. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.